Chapter 3, Reforming Clinical Education, by Reena Patel, with working group contributors Jane Ashbrook, Philip Barber, Marcus Barnett, Ben Ellis, Tom Flanagan, Anne Green, Claire Horner, Jesse Robinson, Rory Toogood, David Williams. Unsurprisingly, every conversation on the topic of reform visits the subject of education. Through education, consensus is formed, and just as this manifesto intends, a reformative agenda can emerge and be enacted. Since the very first Big Ours event in November 2017, roundtable discussions on all things education have been central to the MSKR movement, and yet this has not been without controversy. Whilst not distinct from each other, the following educational themes consistently emerged: patient education, undergraduate education, clinical education, postgraduate education, continued professional development, public education. As discussed at length in chapters 1 and 4, evidence-informed practice has led us to especially value patient-centered care, holistic, biopsychosocial reasoning, and interpersonal communication skills. The only feasible mechanism to educate the MSK workforce on these and other key factors is through patient exposure coupled with reflection, a process best known as clinical education. Clinical education has long been highly regarded across healthcare, and we recognise that we are far from the first group to highlight it as a priority. We are, however, seemingly uniquely concerned by the lack of urgency to improve consistency and appropriately universalise clinical educational standards. The patho-anatomical and patho-kinesiological models of diagnosis are failing to capture the complexity of the current population and the structural and physiological mechanisms of what were assumed to be corrective interventions continue to be challenged. Whilst even biomedical models and methods required practice-based clinical education for their application, there are far more inherent rights and wrongs and binary yes or no answers in these systems that better lend themselves to classroom and textbook education. MSK professionals need exposure to contemporary MSK practice and the time to reflect on what they encounter throughout their career, particularly in the current climate of pain knowledge. For these reasons, our working group prioritised clinical education and used a variety of mixed methodologies to identify problems, forge consensus and propose solution. There is a long history of practice-based clinical education across the MSK professions, but the most integrated with frontline public healthcare is that of physiotherapy student placements. Clinical education and the supervisory process it involves is an important component of pre-registration physiotherapy education. Student physiotherapists in the United Kingdom are required to undertake at least 1,000 hours of clinical placements, which provides the opportunity for students to apply their academic knowledge and skills, as well as develop their interprofessional social skills, both necessary prerequisites for their career as a physiotherapist. Despite universal acknowledgement of their importance, securing clinical placements for students has become increasingly difficult in recent years. In a contemporary healthcare environment where clinical staff are challenged by increased workload demands, as well as an ageing and more medically complex population, there are many factors for a department to consider before offering a student placement. This can lead to inconsistency and inequality in students' learning experiences, as well as varying standards of clinical teaching and levels of motivation amongst clinical educators. Furthermore, several additional factors have been cited as potential influences of the success of a clinical placement. Attitudes of the student, university preparation, self-confidence in fulfilling the clinical educator role, and the student-clinician relationship. Placements are an essential component of training and a fundamental means of developing a graduate from a layperson to an entry-level professional. Placements are incredibly rich experiences that place into context the many hours spent in the classroom and behind a desk studying. However, every placement for every student is a heterogeneous experience, as demonstrated by this account of two very different placement experiences by one of our student contributors. A tale of two MSK placements, a quote by a student contributor. Placement one. Although I was a very junior physiotherapist, I came to realise that my educator's clinical reasoning was linear and formulaic. Patients had either a weak core or weak glutes, and this was presented as the root of their problems. Placement two. This time, my clinical reasoning was constantly discussed throughout my placement. They cared about why I thought something, not just what I thought. It was clear that my educators were current with the evidence base, as they would email me relevant papers, podcasts, and other resources before discussing them with me. Clinical education quality. A selection of UK physiotherapy students were asked to reflect on what factors make for a good MSK clinical educator. Their answers were bold but did not surprise our working group. They are as follows. They don't really have to be the most competent nor experienced physiotherapist. They need to be comfortable with the unknowns of MSK presentations and admit it. They should encourage a person-centred biopsychosocial approach. They are comfortable discussing and using current evidence to guide decisions. They should encourage questioning. Although they may be trained in particular treatments or have biases, they should still engage in critical discussions surrounding these and be flexible around understanding of different approaches to different patient presentations and conditions. When reflecting on the thoughts of their peers and following wider discussion with the patients, academics, and clinicians in the working group, our student contributors posed the following hypothetical question that then drove several of this chapter's policies. Wouldn't it be nice if your next educator was as good as your best educator? Policy one. MSKR propose a clinical educator online learning resource to support clinical educators offering MSK placements. The 2017 Healthcare Professions Council Standards of Education and Training stipulate that clinical educators must undertake regular training which is appropriate to their role, the learner's needs, and the delivery of the teaching outcomes of the programme. Each UK university provides clinical educator training to ensure educators have the relevant knowledge, skills, and experience to support safe and effective learning. There is significant variability, however, in how this is delivered, as no universal standard exists. MSKR propose that the MSK placement learning resources referred to above and the model for creating them have the potential to be shared with other professions, including other MSK professions, other disciplines within physiotherapy, and other allied health professionals. Medicine. Policy two. MSKR advocate for a respected MSK educator credentialing process to be developed. The CSP previously launched the Accreditation of Clinical Education Scheme in 2004. developed in collaboration with all UK higher education institutions. The scheme offered standardisation of the quality of training for clinical educators and allowed a physiotherapist calibre as a clinical educator be recognised formally. The scheme was discontinued because it did not gain a strong level of currency within the profession and was considered a distraction from a more strategic approach to practice-based learning. MSKR is confident that the aforementioned clinical educator resources could be delivered online or through the use of a blended learning approach. Clinical education quantity. We feel that improving MSK placement quality is a priority, but would struggle to argue that a poor placement is worse than no placement at all. In the UK, the MSK professions are growing rapidly due to rising number of university places, exemplified by 41% rise in physiotherapy places over 4 years. Developing more practice-based learning opportunities is a priority to meet future workforce demands, yet significant barriers exist that are stalling progress. Policy 3. MSKR propose a promotional campaign which highlights the positive impact of student placements on productivity of MSK services. Whilst the provision of MSK clinical placements can present operational challenges, we feel that the rewards afforded to services far outweigh the negatives. A key barrier to increasing MSK placements is the persistence of the myth that the presence of edge students inherently reduces a service's productivity. Even if this were true, the industry would have to adapt or face the prospect of integrating a severely underprepared graduate workforce. Models such as Connect Health's 2-to-1 educator system have shown it is possible to run student placements that maintain or even increase capacity. This productivity increase is not at the cost of patient and student satisfaction, which remains high and stable throughout the placements. MSKR will develop and promote the business case for productive MSK placement models and provide resources via our online clinical educator resource. Policy 4. MSKR advocate a universal code of conduct detailing the responsibilities of HEIs, clinical educators, students and service providers before, during and after student placements. It is a challenge to appropriately manage expectations for MSK placements when, as suggested, the variation in quality is so significant. The largely undiscussed roles and responsibilities of all parties involved in clinical education adds further difficulty. For example, what is explicitly expected of the student, the educator, the university and the service provider? Every placement has its own unique features that are most often covered in a local induction and discussed informally early in a placement. However, a significant number of responsibilities could be made universal across MSK placements and distributed fairly and explicitly between the four main parties. For example, we propose a local induction which is expected by the student and delivered by the clinical educator in time allocated by the service provider. We feel that expectations and responsibilities, such as the constituent parts of an induction, should be declared and signed to in a universal code of conduct. This would provide clarity over what is expected of each party involved on a placement and offer a point of reference in case of disputes, thus reducing misunderstandings that can often compromise a placement experience. The graduate skill gap. In a young and ever-evolving discipline like MSK, there are few traits more important than a commitment to lifelong learning. The idea that clinical education stops after a student's final placement is, of course, nonsense. But for those wishing to specialise in MSK practice as a graduate, the quality of learning opportunities varies significantly. The realities of the UK health economy, including an ageing and ailing population, an intergenerational inactivity crisis, and a struggling NHS with demands exceeding its budget, have contributed to depleting education budgets and decreased mentoring time. Pockets of good practice exist whereby services are providing high quality teaching and mentoring to aspiring MSK professionals, but there is no scope as yet for these practices to become a blueprint for universal quality. Preceptorship is a period of structured transition for each newly qualified healthcare professional, during which he or she will be supported by a preceptor to develop his or her confidence and competence as a professional, refine skills, values and behaviours, and to continue his or her journey of lifelong learning. Providing support to healthcare professionals through preceptorship has long been advocated as a way of improving care and workforce retention, and some healthcare professionals already benefit from well-established schemes, the strongest evidence of benefits existing in the nursing profession. Benefits of preceptorship extend to all stakeholders, including the individual practitioner, the preceptor, the employer, the service user, and the profession itself. Across the MSK professions, UK HEIs currently have no responsibility to their alumni following graduation. Whilst this is not necessarily different to most degree courses, as has been mentioned previously in this document, the MSK industry is currently in a major transformative period, and a graduate cannot be expected to be a thoroughly competent MSK clinician after just 3 to 4 years of undergraduate study, only part of which is MSK focused. We can find no evidence that UK tuition fee increases and the removal of universal tuition fee bursaries for certain MSK professions have led to improved student experience, learning outcomes, or employability. We feel that an extended duty of care from HEIs to their graduates is the most cost and resource efficient method of adding value to degrees in MSK disciplines. Policy 5. MSKR propose a formal universal preceptorship pathway for graduates aspiring to MSK excellence. As ever, we advocate for devolved and distributed responsibility, and so propose the triad of responsibility model for postgraduate MSK preceptorship, a model which involves three key stakeholders groups committing time and other resources to pursue MSK excellence beyond registration via clinical education. Whilst it is out of the scope of this manifesto to present in detail the proposed MSKR preceptorship model, we feel it is important to outline some of the shared responsibilities and prospective rewards for HEIs, service providers, and graduating clinicians. Description of a table in print. Responsibilities. Responsibilities for HEIs include resource access, teaching infrastructure, peer support networks. Responsibilities for the service provider include named preceptor, study leave, shadowing and mentoring opportunities. Responsibilities for the new graduate include commitment, self-directed study, timely submissions. Rewards. Rewards for HEIs include a decrease in syllabus pressure, assist local provider links, reduce risks of staff becoming clinically distant, reputational benefits. Rewards for the service provider: an educated workforce, local HEI links, reduced risks of staff becoming academically distant, reputational benefits. Rewards for the new graduate: MSK specific training, accelerate MSK career, retain education focus whilst applying in practice, reputational benefits. MSKR recognise the varied early career routes that can lead to MSK specialisation, from immediate MSK private practice roles to rotational NHS roles and physiotherapy apprenticeships. To account for this variety, we propose that the MSKR preceptorship programme be made available for 2 years within the first 4 years post-graduation. Policy 6. MSKR propose a process for MSK professionals who have been long graduated to complete the credentialing element and engage with the mentoring component of the preceptorship programme detailed in the previous policy. We would argue that the MSK industry is in a state of transition, with many long-assumed causes of pain, injury and disability being re-evaluated and many long-assumed influences of recovery being challenged. A way in which MSK professionals with aspire to clinical excellence can achieve this is through a recognised process of clinical education is long overdue. Existing models, such as those developed by the Musculoskeletal Association of Chartered Physiotherapists, MACP, and Institute of Osteopathy, IO, for example, should be reviewed in depth to identify successes and limitations. MSKI would like to work with these professional bodies and other partner organisations to universalise the mark of MSK competence that is appropriately detached from a single MSK disciplines and interventional modalities. A quote by new graduate physiotherapist contributor. One of the biggest challenges I faced transitioning from a student to a newly qualified physio was that I felt I had to prove my competence to my colleagues, as they had such varying expectations of newly qualified physios. I believe this was mainly because in the current education system, there is such a range in quality and abilities of newly qualified physios that at the very start, you have to prove your competence until you've gained the trust of your colleagues. However, following this initial period, you are then let loose, and this can seem somewhat overwhelming, as it often means you can feel unsupported whilst also often being given unrealistic caseloads with few teaching opportunities to consolidate knowledge and skills. That concludes Chapter 3, Reforming Clinical Education.